I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Tarigi and the author of the new book, The Party's Interests Come First. I highly recommend it to those of us who have to make generalities about China because this makes it a family affair. You pay attention to what Xi Jinping learned as a child, as a young man, as a success. And the success comes almost in Shakespearean fashion within moments of the death of the father. 1999, the father returns. Deng Xiaoping is dead, so he can come back to the capital. Cancer is discovered, I believe, in 2001. And in 2002, the father dies of cancer. Is she at his deathbed, or was he busy at the time? I don't remember. Was he in America? Where was Xi Jinping, the son?
Xi Jinping was in one of the southern provinces.
Right.
Indeed. Xi Jinping had spent his last weeks in Beijing. He had moved back there when they discovered the cancer in his body for treatment.
So
it was a very sudden death. The family was quite shocked by how quickly it happened.
This is a very senior figure with an institutional memory, having been through all sorts of blows to his family, to himself, to having to recant things that he knew were true. And yet he leaves, what is it, a poem that's on his gravestone, struggle and happiness. He leaves that to his wife, who survives him, and his children. Does Xi Jinping speak of that, what's on his father's grave?
Well, he hasn't spoken about what was on his father's grave, I believe, but Xi Jinping did write a letter to his father shortly before his father's death, actually, where he lists the qualities that he saw in him that, according to this letter, he wanted to emulate. And they're quite interesting. One is that he would never persecute people. And another is that even though his father had suffered so much at the hands of so many people, his father never lost faith in the cause. And so I think that for Xi Jinping, right, it's an interesting question why, after looking at what had happened to his father, he wouldn't want to leave the party and escape a system that could cause that kind of torment. But on the other hand, I think perhaps we could look at it in a different way, which is if your father goes through that much and is still dedicated to the cause, then how could you give up on it? And also in this Bolshevik political culture, you would often see this habit where people who were put through these humiliations wanted to work even harder to prove that they were good enough, that they were dedicated to the cause. So it was this kind of interesting thing where suffering didn't turn you away from it. It actually rededicated you to it.
I've solved my handwriting. A life of fighting, a life of happiness, every day struggle, every day happiness. Okay. Yeah. The father is dead. Long live the father. And you have a quote that is strikingly ironic. This is about a remark that Abe, Prime Minister Abe, now no longer with us, made to Xi at one point about, if you were born in the USA, would you join the Republicans or the Democrats or the Communist Party? And I believe Xi says he would join the Republicans or the Democrats and not the Communist Party. Abe believes that makes him a strong realist. What are they talking about, Joseph?
Yeah, so you're right. This was a quite interesting conversation between former Japanese Prime Minister Abe and Xi Jinping that Abe writes about in his memoirs. And Xi Jinping, apparently, during one of their conversations, told him that if he was born in the United States, he wouldn't join the Communist Party. He would join the Republicans and the Democrats. And we can only guess about why he said that, but Abe, who was in the room, the conclusion he drew was that this was a sign that Xi Jinping was a real nationalist, right? That he was someone who cared a lot about power and wielding power as opposed to a belief in the ideological tenets of Marxism-Leninism. And so for Xi Jinping to say that he wouldn't be a communist in another country, even though communists are, according to their worldview, at the very heart, are supposed to pursue that kind of socialist transformation everywhere. For Xi Jinping, he also has this preoccupation with national characteristics, with civilization. And I think at heart, he sees communism as something useful for China to rejuvenate and become a great power. And that's what's most important to him.
You also give out what he believes is the enemies list of the People's Republic of China. I added it all up. It's just a handful of people compared to a billion. Taiwan, East Turkestan, the Dalai Lama clique, the democracy movement, the Falun Gong. These are not major adversaries. He doesn't name the United States significantly. But there was this phrase that, again, requires explication we don't have time for, but just a thought. He talks about the fickleness of the world after saying it's not all power and flowers. What does he mean by fickleness? We have 30 seconds.
You know, somebody asked him whether he had raised to such a high position because of his father. And he said, well, you know, I was affected by the fact that I was my father's son, but not for the reasons people think. He said, I saw suffering. I saw the cow's heads where people were confined during the Cultural Revolution. It's not all just, as you said, applause and flowers. And I think it speaks to something at the very heart of Xi Jinping, which is this terrible fear of chaos, phobia of chaos. And he saw what had happened during the Cultural Revolution to him and his family. And I think he believes that you need a strong party. You need a strong state, not one that's constrained and confined, but to control people, because if you don't, then they do those terrible things to each other.
The party's interests come first. The life of Zhang Shun, father of Xi Jinping, Joseph Turigian is the author. Highly recommend.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.